Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Ardana Azban, here with my friend and chavruta Ann Gordon. Our daf today, Masechet Baba Metzia, daf pei, page 80. Well, we got a bunch of mishnas. Ann and I will do our ping ponging as we like to do. I will start with the first one. Hasocheret haparah lecharesh bahar. Somebody rents a cow to plow on a mountain, v'charash babika, but instead uses the cow to plow a valley. Im nishbar hakankan patur. If the coulter breaks during the plowing, the renter isn't liable because that coulter still would have broken if he had plowed in a mountain. But somebody who rents a cow to plow in a valley, v'charash bahar, and then plows in a mountain, im nishbar kankan chayav. If the coulter breaks during the plowing, then the renter is chayav because a mountain is much more difficult to plow since its soil is considered to be rockier. So in other words, if you're renting the animal out for a higher level of activity and you do a lower level and something bad happens, that's fine. But if you do go from a lower to a higher, that becomes the problem. Then the Mishnah goes on to say, ladush bakitnit, right? If somebody rents a cow to thresh beans, vidash b'tfua, and he threshes grain, patur, he's not liable if, like, let's say the cow slips, injures itself, or something like that, because beans are more slippery than grain. So in other words, when you do beans, the owner understands there is a risk of the animal slipping. Ladush b'tfua, vidash b'kitnit, but if it was to thresh grain and said he threshed beans, chayav, then he would be chayav mipneisha hakitni machlaket, because beans are more slippery than grain. So the Mishnah is going to, the Gemara is going to start off here, basically saying, right, hecha delo shani ba, where the renter does not deviate, right, from the terms of the rental agreement, right, so the cow's owner wouldn't have a claim against him for the damage, you know, coulter, or where the plows, you know, or where the, you know, the plows operator wouldn't, or, you know, wouldn't, in other words, there's no claim basically for negligently operating the plow. My mishalem, who actually pays for the damage, right? In other words, who's actually paying for the damage? Is it going to be the owner? Is it the worker? Like, who actually pays for the damage? Amara Papa Dinaki Prasha Mishalem, right? The one who holds the handle pays. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi, Amar Rav Shisha, the son of Rav Idi, says Dinaki Mana Mishalem. The one who's actually holding the coulter is actually going to pay, because it means maybe he held it too tightly or pressed it in too tightly. V'hilchata Dinaki Mana Mishalem. And the law is the person who holds the coulter, he is the one who's going to pay. V'iduchta Dimichase Gun Dire, right? But if the mountain is known as a place that has outer crops, right, travail mishamim, then both of them have to pay. From here, the Gemara is going to go on to different laws that pertain to the sale of an animal. But that's basically what this Mishnah, there's not a lot of Gemara on it. It's pretty straightforward. And again, the idea, though, is continuing this theme of, like, when you make a rental, you know, transaction, and the assumption is that you're agreeing to certain ways that the item that you're renting is going to be used, and then you use it differently, and damage happens. When is the renter chayev? When is the renter patur?
You know, I'd almost have thought that we'd covered this already. It's one of those times where the Gemara comes back to the basics later in the Masechet. Okay, next Mishnah. Hasocher ta chamor lehavi aleha chitin vevi aleha seorin chayav. If you rent a donkey in order to transport wheat, to schlep wheat, and instead you bring the same amount on the wheat, I'm sorry, the same amount of weight of barley. Now, it happens to be that barley is like a bigger volume than wheat. It has the same weight, but it's a greater volume. So now, if the donkey is injured, that is going to make the renter liable, right? Because the pack is different, so to speak. Tvu'a ve'vi ala tevin chayav. Likewise, if he was transporting grain and instead he brought straw, it's going to be the same issue, and again, he's going to be liable. Mibnesha nefach kashek masoi. The extra volume there is difficult for the animal in terms of the load of itself. Like, it's you know, weight isn't all there is to it. It's also the way the bundle sits on the animal. Lavi letach chitin vivi letach sorin patur. However, if he rents the donkey in order to bring on it a letach, this is now a measure of volume as opposed to a measure of weight. and he brings on it instead a measure of barley, in that case he would be exempt from paying because it's the same amount of volume. If anything, it would then make the barley package less weight. However, if he would add a greater load, right, a load that's a greater volume than he'd originally planned, then he's going to be obligated to pay. I mean, he's liable. How much does it take to add on for it to be considered more, you know, greater than the amount that he'd stipulated? Sumchu says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that on a camel, a whole sa'ah would be considered, you know, too much extra of the load. But on a donkey, it would be 3 kav. Now, these issues of measurements, you know, we come back to them time and again. A sa'ah is a measure of dry volume, and a sa'ah has 6 kav in it. So that is a much larger measure than the 1 kav. And the kav here for the donkey that they say is 3 kav. So it means that the donkey can only handle half as much of the extra load as the camel can handle. The kav is considered like the basic unit of measurement. And it ends up being, again, we saw 1/6 of a sa'ah. And it's also considered to be 24 of a kibetza, of the measurement of an egg. Again, it's a measure of an egg, not physically an egg. Just quickly, the Gemara mentions here, Itamar Abaye Amar, Abaye says, Kashe kimasui tnan. It says here in the Mishnah that we're talking about difficult as a load, meaning that having extra volume is as difficult as the load itself. Rav Amar Kashe kimasui tnan. Abaye Amar Kashe kimasui tnan. Nifcha ki tikla. So they both say difficult. Well, this is a very technical phrasing here. You know, we talk about how much we appreciate the language shifts here. Abai says it's as kashe kamasoi. It's as difficult as the load. And Rava basically corrects him or disagrees with him and says it's difficult la masoi, to know that it's for the load. And then Abai comes back and says, "Kashe kamasui tanan." No, we said as the load, and he goes on to explain that we're talking about the case that the volume is like weight, and therefore, if the volume is equal, it should be okay until you would add up to 3 kav on top for this donkey. Rava Mar Kashe Masui, it's difficult for the load tanan tikla ki tikla v'nivcha havei tosefet. And he goes on to explain that when you say difficult for the load, it means that one weight is like the other weight, and the extra volume is what makes a difference. Meaning, they're splitting hairs on the words, right? Ka versus la, in terms of what is the load, how is the load increasing? And the question then is, are we talking about increasing the volume, which is how we understood it, right? Where the extra volume itself would then cause damage. In which case, then Rava says that the volume of 2 is going to be the same, and 1 is not going to be, and you're not liable until you get to an extra 3 kav of weight. Where Rava focuses on the weight, where Abai focuses on the volume, it does seem, at least the way we read the Mishnah to begin with, that the focus here is on the volume, not on the weight.
So I like this Mishnah and the subsequent discussion because it gets into like Gemara measurements, which mean absolutely nothing to me. I think if I were going to write a book on Talmud study, I'd love to do a chart of like a core equals this, a seah equals this. But, you know, it makes sense. I think when we use something, we rent something for burden, we need to think about, you know, how much burden are we actually putting on and what's considered to be an acceptable burden or not. Okay, I'm going to move on now to our last Mishnah. So our last Mishnah is basically going to discuss that we know if somebody is going to watch a property of somebody else without payment, that's called a shomer chinam, they're only chayav for loss or damage to that item that's caused by his own negligence, right? But if you're paid, if you're a shomer schar, you're liable even for things that happen that are not due to his negligence. So the Mishnah here is going to discuss cases where one person is watching the property of somebody else. And in each case, it's going to teach whether he's considered to be a shomer schar or a shomer chinam. So it starts by talking about halachot around craftsmen, right, who are given the property of somebody else to work on it. Kol ha'omanim shmorei schar hein. So all craftsmen are considered to be a shomer schar, right, a paid shomer. V'kulan shamru. But once any craftsman says, right, to the person who hired him, tol et shalach v'hevi ma'od, take your property and bring it to me, shomer chinam, then it's considered to be unpaid, right? Because he finished the work that he needed to do. The payment, he's waiting for the payment. Person should come and pick it up. Mishnah has another case. Shomer li veshmor lacha, right? Watch a property for me and I will watch your property for you. Shomer schar, right? That is considered to be a paid shomer. And the Gemara will explain on tomorrow's daf why that is. Another case, shomer li, watch property for me, v'amar lo hanach lefanai, and the other says, put it down in front of me, shomer chinam. Then that person is a shomer chinam. Hilvuhu al hamishkon, right? Somebody lends money to another person with a security, shomer schar. There you're considered to be a paid shomer when it comes to the security. Rabbi Yehuda omer, hilvahu ma'ot shomer chinam. If he lent him money, so Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda omer, hilvahu ma'ot shomer chinam. If he lent him money, he's considered an unpaid shomer. Hilval peirot shomer schar. But if he lent him produce, then he's considered to be a paid shomer, because produce rots. So you gain by lending produce he has now, because getting fresh produce back actually in the time of payment, you know, is a good thing. It works for, you know, it actually, because he didn't have to worry about his produce rotting. Then the Mishnah teaches us one more law here. Abba Shaul Omer, Rashay Adam Lahasker Mashkenos Shel Ani, a person who lends to a poor man against his security is permitted to rent the poor man's security to the others. Liot Posekva Olechalav, in order to set a fee for it and continue to reduce the debt. So in other words, if you can do it in a way that helps the poor person, this is a good thing to do. Mipnei shehu kameshi vaveda, because then it becomes as if he is returning lost property. So I think that's actually a really beautiful halacha at the end. The Mishnah starts off with sort of a discussion of who actually wrote the Mishnah, discussion if it's Rabbi Meir, and we'll talk more about this Mishnah tomorrow.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Thank you for joining us. Rank us, review us where you get your podcasts. Come talk to us on our Facebook page and tell us what you think of this DAF. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. And until tomorrow, go and learn.